Today's show is sponsored by MyOliveLeaf.biz. MyOliveLeaf.biz. Today's show is also a tribute to Attorney Sam Perkins of Memphis, Tennessee.
When did a light go off? When it came to you, your weight, and your health? Because I remember the tour.
Yes.
Where you were killing skinny girls.
I never killed skinny girls. And I won't let you put that on me, Roland.
You were snapping skinny girls. First of all, I don't even need my own researcher. I got this. I can recall the comedy special.
I said you need to hit them in the top of the head, right?
And big sisters were loving you, the whole piece. And then all of a sudden, when you begin to talk about working out and fitness and health, then people are like, whoa, what is she doing?
Yes.
What happened there?
The light went off. One day I was in the bathroom, and so was my husband. And he said, Mama, how much do you weigh? And I knew the answer was 300 pounds. I knew it, but I couldn't say that. So I said, 266 pounds. And he looked at me and said, that's too much. And I want you for a lifetime. And in that moment, I was embarrassed. I felt guilty.
Were you mad?
I felt ashamed. I was mad as hell.
Because your whole thing was, look, I love who I am.
I could not
believe.
How
I look, I don't care what y'all think.
I could not believe he said it out loud. But also, I felt a feeling that I had never felt before. And that was someone loving me unconditionally.
All right, guys, I'm going to stop the audio right there. Big shout out to Roland Martin. Also another big shout out to Monique for praising Black Love. Black Love was the inspiration for a recent interview I had with Monique. I focus more on them as a power couple. I focus more on their love as opposed to the things that I truly wanted to ask. And that was questions regarding past Black Ball controversies, her relationships, her current relationships, if she's got any, with Charlamagne, Lee Daniels, Tyler Perry, Oprah, and Deborah Lee. I didn't talk about her weight loss journey. I also didn't get a chance to delve too far down the rabbit hole regarding any recent projects. And again, I neglected to do all of that because I wanted to focus on the two of them versus one. Now, I bet you real quick, you're probably asking yourself, well, why is Tekashi 6ix9ine and President Trump on Monique's banner? Well, it's because of the promo. So I'm going to just give you a little snippet here towards the end so you'll see what tomorrow's show will be about. They're going to deconstruct the impeachment. Also, for the millennials, Jessica Brown addresses Tekashi 6ix9ine. All right, let's get ready. Let's just jump right into the conversation.
Radio, DJ.
One nation, one station.
Happy birthday to you.
Thank you, my sweetness. But listen, I was looking at Sydney like, Daddy, who are they singing to? Because my birthday is Wednesday.
Yeah, but you know I won't be with you, so happy
you know what?
Pre-birthday.
Thank you, my baby. Thank you for that early birthday, Sister Val.
All right, guys, so let's jump right into the interview because when the judge gets here, I want to toss it to him so you guys can spend some QT together. So my first question is regarding relationship goals, right? So from the outside looking in, it is my opinion that your relationship represents a dynamic portrayal of love, particularly Black love. So what is your secret and what would you like our listeners to know about you as a couple?
To say what we want people to know about us as a couple, this is what I want people to know coming from a Black woman to other women out there, that love is possible and it's real. And we've been taught to almost be in a constant battle in our relationships. Because even when you said power couple, that makes us chuckle. Because that's not something that we say, oh, we've got to be a power couple. What we want to be to one another is a loving couple. For people to understand our history, well, we've been best friends since the 10th grade, since we were 14 years old. So we've been in each other's lives for so long that
longer than we have not being in one another's lives.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So when you say what do we want people to know about us as a couple is friendship is real, love is real, honesty is real. You know, when we do our show, Monique and Sydney's open relationship, and people got so confused about what that meant, and they made it what they wanted it to be. But when you actually listened to the show, you found out it was about two people saying, let's be open and honest with one another so that way we can truly live our best lives with one another.
Sydney, same question for you. What are your thoughts?
We just deal with one another because people are going to say what it is that they say. They have a right to say it. But when you keep looking into the eyes of the one that you're taking this journey with and not be focused in on individuals that, quite frankly, don't have a bearing in on your life, that's the best way you can keep your relationship connected, keep your mind sane. But if you're trying to vibe the pulse of every individual that's out there, everyone has a different opinion. Everyone's depiction or grasping of what transpired may be different. It's, some people may be coming from a cruel space regardless, and some people are just coming from an honest space, but they may have misinterpreted it. Some people understand it completely, but the most important thing is, do you understand what you're dealing with? And if so, they say the only way that you can lose track of what it is that you're doing is if you take your eyes off your goal. So you just got to keep your eyes on your goal because that's the thing that's important to yourself and your family.
All right. As we wait for the judge, I want to ask you guys one or two more questions. I want to first start off by backpedaling because I'm really glad, Monique, that you brought up your podcast. I remember when I was first introduced to your podcast, big shout out to Maurice Duncan. When I was first introduced to it, upon reading the title, I just assumed that the show would be about sex, and more hard sex. And I guess I assumed that for two reasons. One, because I'm so accustomed to you coloring outside of the lines via your comedy, but also Hollywood. Hollywood is a huge, just sexually driven, just a cesspool of all things related. So I just assume that that is what you are going to discuss during your show. But I was pleasantly surprised to note that it was so much more than that. So my question to you is, where do you get your content for your show?
When I'm on stage, it's pretty much, I tell people, if you want to get to know Monique, just come to a show because it's pretty much my life. With Monique and Sydney's open relationship, we normally get that content at 3 o'clock in the morning. If one of us wake up and the other one wake up and we come sit in the closet and we just start talking.
Mm-hmm.
Well, 5 minutes gotcha. Before the show, something hits you,
yep.
And then we start having a conversation in reference to it. We might change direction from what it is that we were going to speak in reference to, but wherever the spirit takes us.
My next question is more for the young people that participate in my focus group, because a lot of them are vying to get into the entertainment industry. So this question is sort of kind of a two-part question. One, do you think that the entertainment industry is for young people? Do you think that it exploits them? And last but not least, do you guys have any advice for people who want to pursue entertainment as a career?
Well, I'll try to make it as plain as I can. When you say, do I think the industry exploits young people, I think that we're in an industry that exploits whomever they can. May they be young, old, black, white. So we just can't put it off on young people in the industry. It's that type of industry that will exploit whomever. To say what advice, what I have as a performer, as the talent, there were things in the early part of my career that you were so excited, you didn't look at that contract with a fine-tooth comb because you were so excited. you were going to be able to live your dream and walk in your dream, but not understanding when you put your name on that dotted line, you didn't realize what you were signing away. And no one was around you to say, wait a minute, time out. So the biggest piece of advice I could have to anyone that's coming into this business, make sure your contracts are looked over by your attorney, not their attorney, but an attorney that you hire, an attorney that has your best interest. So that way you may not get exploited as much.
And if they tell you that you cannot allow your attorney to look at it and you need to sign it right now, you already know that's the litmus test for being a bad deal.
This is my last question. It's been an honor and a privilege to chat with you guys. Thank you so much for entertaining me today. I appreciate you so much. So I want to piggyback on lawyers and legalities, because we just talked about contracts. I know that in 2018, you petitioned your fans to join you in a boycott versus Netflix. And then here recently, you introduced that you were suing Netflix over discriminatory pay. So I'd like to know what the status of your case is. Also, is there anything that our listening audience can do to assist your efforts, i.e. expand the boycott, show up at Netflix's corporate office, sign a petition, scream at the top of our lungs? Is there anything that we can do to help you?
Baby, if lawsuits work like that, what you talking about?
Right, like it's round one, uppercut to the chin. Down goes Frazier.
Come on now. Come on now. What I would say to the beautiful folks that's listening is be unafraid to stand up for what's right.
And there it is.
All right, Monique, Sydney, thank you so much. That wraps my part right now. What I want to do is bring the judge in. But wait a minute, before I do that, big shout out to Mo Duncan for this intro. If you're listening, I just want to say I love you to life. Thanks so much for all that you do. All right, judge, we got Monique and Sydney in the house. Welcome, welcome, sir. How are you?
All right. How's everybody doing today? I've been listening in.
Everybody is wonderful.
Now, I'm going to exercise a little guest privilege. I'm going to give a shout-out, a rest-in-peace type shout-out, to a very distinguished black gentleman who did all of the right stuff. He passed away, and he was an attorney. He was also a veteran. And I mentored him, and he became one hell of a trial lawyer, one of the best in the country, though, of course, the media won't push that kind of thing for us. And I know from his performance in front of me as a criminal court judge and from keeping up with him after the fact, he got almost 30 people, kept them away from the electric chair. He took many, many cases and didn't charge fees. He was an activist, a down brother. And we need some more like him to replace him and continue his legacy. So out of respect, I got to get his brother a shout out, you know? But anyway, let's get back to what we were doing. We just need more Sam Perkins-type people. He had 9 children, almost 30 grandchildren. All of them went to college. Or if they aren't that old on the grandchildren's part, they're doing well in high school. So he was a man, a masculine man. 6 feet 8 inches tall, never played basketball, but he was a hell of a human being. Okay, let's throw out a topic. What do you think some of the major problems that we're looking at right now as a country and as a people, as black people? And do you see any solutions? Who wants to go first?
I think that one of the major problems we're looking at for me, humbly, is fear. Most of us live in fear. So a lot of the problems and a lot of the situations is simply because people are too afraid to come together and speak up and speak out. Is there a solution? I believe it is. However, you don't get to that solution when you have people so afraid to even talk about the problem. And I think now that's what we're seeing a lot in a place called Hollywood. We're seeing it a lot across the board, just in the workforce in the United States of America. You have people too afraid to say, listen, this is not right. You have people too afraid to say, this is inequality, this is an injustice, this, I won't tolerate it. Because a lot of us are so worried about ourselves individually, we forgot it took a village. We forgot to build up the community. So I hope that answers your question.
In the same way that you just made mention of the individual who you mentored and you gave your respects to them, there's a level of appreciation for the individuals who have come before, who have come after us, that to piggyback on what Monique was saying, that we begin to do things that are specific to our benefit, not realizing that the people who came before us, the giants, as they said, we sit on their proverbial shoulders, that they did things for the benefit of those who weren't here yet. And this is how we're able to have a conversation, and you're able to be a judge, Monique is able to be Monique, Valerie's able to be Valerie as a host, and I'm able to be a manager in an industry that, you know, they're not used to a black couple standing strong and speaking truth to power. So when we stop being fearful, and it's not without reason because we've been conditioned to be afraid, but when we learn that the same way that we have been conditioned to be unafraid, we can reteach ourselves to be fearless.
Well, let's try this. Miss Monique, first thing, Yeah, there is fear. Am I unmuted?
No, baby, we can hear you.
Okay, I just said, you mentioned there's fear, there's a lot of that, but you know the solution to fear?
What's that?
Grow strong, become courageous, be brave. I'm going to say something. You talked about Hollywood, and I was in it for 15 years. I've got a new show that's supposed to air February for the pilot, and I'm going to jeopardize it. Hollywood is the biggest cesspool full of low-down, wrongdoing, backstabbing, punk-ass, cowardly scum you have ever run into, and they poison this country because they've got a nasty agenda they're trying to perpetrate. Now, I'll say that. I'll probably get blackballed again, but it ain't all about money. So the people on whose shoulders we stand, yes, there are quite a few. I'm in my 70s, so I dedicated myself, and I got up where I was making big money in spite of it, probably because of it, to the principle that you got to do what you're supposed to be doing, not necessarily what you want to do. Do what you ought to do. So one thing that has disturbed me, I want you to talk about, since we touched on the subject. We haven't had a political leader in the black community who's been slain because of that in the last 50 years. We've got a lot of rap stars, singers, former gang members who decided they were going to become political after the fact, but nobody who rose up to be a voice of the people and lead the people politically, socially, and culturally, and economically has had anything happen to them. Is that because the society is more tolerant, or we just haven't had any of those people? It's questioning. Anybody want to go for that one?
I don't know the reason. However, I think one of the most important things that there are, you sound like a person, and, you know, I'm just hypothesizing, that you can't get a Juris Doctorate, become a judge, unless there's a level of drive that you had, because who was going to make sure that you studied in order to pass the bar? Because no one probably cared more than you. So before we get into following leaders, we must learn how to be the leader for ourselves as individuals. And then when we lead ourselves as individuals, the rest will kind of fall in place. And they use a term on social media that they refer to as followers, more so than individuals who are thinking like-mindedly. And the truth is, real leaders aren't oftentimes, unless you're a coach or in a position where you have to have a specific group of people follow your leadership, but on a day-in-day-out process, most people who have, in my humble opinion, who have a mature outlook on life and a reasonable outlook on life are looking to, if one takes the proverbial lead, they're looking for the leaders of their community to take part because they're like-minded together, and collectively there's a level of leadership that is had, and because many voices cannot be heard and distinguished at the same time, you may elect that one voice, but that one voice has no relevance unless the collective are with him and or her. And they don't have to be followers. They are just with them. So I think part of the problem in our community may be that we're looking for the leader on the outside to lead us when we should be looking for the leader within.
I think you have a point there. For the last 50 years, the media has been glorifying dysfunction as the black lifestyle. Sluts, hoes, pimps, drug dealers, gangsters, fiends, they have been glorified, not the person who's actually doing something. And I think you're dead right about the expectations of the people as to what a leader is and what they're looking for. 50 years ago, when I was in college, what we had was Stokely Carmichael, H. Rapp Brown, Malcolm X, Martin Luther King was a little passe then because nobody was into civil rights. It was in the actualization of the rights that had been acquired. There was a war going on, and everybody was subject to the draft, and a lot of us got snatched over there and done in, or came back mutilated, or came back slightly crazy, or more crazy, let's put it that way. We went through I'm Black and I'm Proud, and we understood that what we should be looking up to or guiding ourselves on or being most importantly inspired by were people who articulated what was in us. And what was in us was, it's time after 100 years since the Civil War to get what we are supposed to get is part of humanity, get what we had paid the equity to get, or established equity to get in terms of our participation in the country. And just deciding to, instead of being down on our knees while we were praying and somebody was whipping our ass until they felt guilty about it, to say, hell no, I'm not turning the other cheek, strike me if you dare, and I'm going to try to take your hand away even if you die. Panther Party, Black Student Unions, community resource groups, these kind of things came about. Nowadays, you can listen to it in the entertainments, look at what's on television. What is it? Let's say Empire. The person is a gangster, and the person is being idolized as a fictional character is a cross between Barry Gordy and his controller, a guy named Norby Walters, who was a white gangster who pistol-whipped Barry Gordy with his henchmen around and got 15% off the top of Motown for years and years and years. We knew about that when it happened. I even ran into the man. He did a whole lot of contract murders for people and had people do that for him. He controlled the black entertainment industry for years and made a lot of money off of it. But you see, we got things that went downhill from our images that did not accommodate the realities, and we forgot one important factor. What we have been, and I'm part of this, I can't deny it for being in there for 15 years, is we became what Caesar called part of the bread and circus syndrome. In other words, we were part of the entertainments that kept the populace entertained and distracted from what was really going on around and about them that was important. And what we find nowadays is we glorify, we get into, our leadership is concerned with people that deal with distracting us rather than getting us anywhere. It's a shame. But it is what it is, so maybe a rap artist can put in a few more lines in his rhymes that say something conscientious instead of something dysfunctional. Maybe somebody, when they have the podium or the forum, when somebody is looking at them as a celebrity, they can make a comment to go out there. You know, maybe we can do a bit more, and perhaps we can highlight those up-and-coming young people who have the right ideas, or at least they're going in the right direction, and protect them from some of these miscreant idiots that are trying to tear them down because they're not really after the people. They're not really for the people. They're after the people in terms of trying to get some self-aggrandizement as some kind of leader that they can turn into money or push some alternative agenda that the people that were following them do not know about. So maybe if you've got the public ear, the public eye, we can go that extra step and start putting them back on track rather than going along with this is so fascinating and doing stuff that I used to associate midlife with tabloids. The stuff we put on the front page now used to be on the last column, last page, last section of a newspaper. It's called a gossip column. We don't care about how well somebody does a job. We deal with what he's doing, who he's sleeping with, what kind of situation has he got, what scandals in his background.
Come on, talk now. About, that's right.
We talk about, as they got on our boy here, when he made the announcement, he offended somebody's sensibilities. Some of these bastards that get their sensibilities offended damn well need them offended because they're full of crap. But you can, you know, like, that's what Trump does. He says, you full of it. You ain't worth a damn. The hell with you. And everybody goes, oh, my God, he made someone feel diminished. Well, they should be diminished. And we need more of that. And our black leadership has got to start doing that, too, instead of having read, 48 Rules of Power, pick a fight with somebody their constituency does not like so they can get some attention off of it and just create chaos. If you're going to create chaos, at least have a purpose other than your own self-interest. Sometimes you need to create chaos. You need to rock the damn boat. But anyway, well, I pontificate. It's Monday. It's early. It's gray and dark and raining out where I am. So excuse me. That's the kind of mood I'm in. So,
well, you know. Truer words were never spoken in the sense of sometimes you have to rock the boat, not for the purpose of just rocking the boat if nothing is wrong. I think that it's the equivalent of we have, in our community, have been trained to be afraid of the master. And when you have a situation where you have an actress named Monique, and you have a situation where this woman was approached by representatives of Lionsgate, Oprah Winfrey, Tyler Perry, who said, specifically Tyler Perry, "I believe if you go and campaign for an Oscar award, you can win $3 to $5 million if you're nominated, $6 to $8 million if you win
for your next movie.
Mm-hmm. And Monique says, "Well, I prefer to spend that time with my family than campaigning for an award, because to campaign for anything is typical of a politician who is trying to win the voters and get them to believe in something that they have yet not seen to be true. Whereas the performance that I've already rendered is already on film for the Academy Award to look at, review, and if they want to say I won, beautiful. If they want to say I did not win, that's beautiful too, but I elect to spend that time with my family, and this is all under the guise of getting her to promote a film for Lionsgate, to whom she had no deal with. Her deal was with Lee Daniels Entertainment. And when Lee Daniels Entertainment had Monique from New York Times, Vanity Fair, Oprah Winfrey, when they sold the movie, her job was done. But there are many people in our community who said, Monique, you stupid, because, and your husband is messing up your career because you're telling people no that have power over you. Not a contract with you, not you broke your verbal agreement, not you broke your contractual agreement, because they have power over you. We have a audio of Tyler Perry saying, I think out of the box. Whenever they ask me to do something, I play by their rules. And if you had to play by their rules, I believe you would have gotten what I said you would have gotten, not if you would have lived by the letter of your contract. So what happens is, when you have the icons, and listen to that word icon, because they can con you because you construe them to be icons, but when these icons are fearful and are working for the proverbial master, hence the Meritorious Manumissions Act of 1710, where the slave was freed if he complied with one of three things: if he saved the master's life, if he made an invention that would make the master rich, or if he would tell on his fellow slaves, they could get their freedom. So what we watch in real time is billionaire individuals who could be construed as slaves, still working for the master, trying to be free because he still has refused to do what he said he was going to do in private, and we've captured it on audio where he said, when I promote my next movie, that was 2016, I'm going to let the world know that, Monique, you were right for taking the position that you took, and I was wrong. And if you heard it, tell me where, because we've yet to hear it. And when you have those type of people, when you have an Oprah Winfrey who is going after a Russell Simmons, who went after Michael Jackson, a man who was acquitted of all charges by a jury of 12 white people, but you're going to bring up accounts about this individual, but what you won't do is say that Monique was right for the position that she took. Oftentimes, it's not about the color of one's skin, but it's the consciousness of one's mind.
I'm sorry, Judge. This is not normal for me to do, but I just wanted to interject because something stirred in my spirit when he mentioned Oprah Winfrey versus Russell Simmons, and I just got so pissed off, you know, to the point that I definitely wanted to interject and give you guys mad kudos for being so calm, cool, and collected, because Monique, if I may, I really appreciate it when you went after Oprah via your comedy special, because I think a lot of people need to be put in their place. God damn, what, how far do we let people go, you know, when they're insulting us, totally defaming our character, not telling the whole story, because the world will never know what happens in these, you know, these private sessions behind closed doors. So mad kudos to you for not just lashing out versus Wendy Williams versus Charlamagne the God versus Storm Monroe. I mean, I just had to say that, guys. Y'all are so calm, cool, and collected. God bless you.
Go ahead, Valerie. Tell them about it. I'm seconding that. And it's trying to tell that punk ass, Charlamagne he can go to hell. And what kind of black man's going to name himself after a psychopathic, dark age French king?
You know, I didn't think about it. So go for it if you got to do it. But let me make one quick comment on that. I got nominated for 3 Emmys, and it didn't do any damn good, all right? But if you want to find out who's going to win an Emmy and who's going to win an Oscar, with exceptions, you can – well, not with exceptions. Invariably, you can find out about it a week before the event if you go on the LGBT site. The people that are nominated – maybe just ordinary or very outstanding performers, but the one that's going to get the award is the one that does most for or cooperates in the behind-the-scenes politics of the Oscar Emmy Board and advances the LGBTQ cause. I was on that board, and the farce of the damn thing is do you know how many people it takes to make a nomination? Just one. And there are 35,000 people eligible who are members of SAG-AFTRA who can make a nomination. It just takes one. And there are people that have actually won Oscars or Emmys that got a total of 3 votes. So it's a fraud. It is a complete fraud. And you know, it's a pat on the back for that particular agenda. Now, back to that agenda. There is a guy named Roger King. He's dead now. His daddy invented TV syndication and started King World. Roger King was a football player, pro football player, and came in laterally. He wasn't a Hollywood product. He's an all right guy. He told me he interviewed almost 350 women before he selected Oprah. He wanted a spokesman for female stay-at-home America. He picked her. He managed all of her financial affairs. And then he died suddenly at 69 of a massive coronary. No, you know, preliminary indications. He just, it hit him and bam, he's gone. Well, Oprah had OWN founded or started by Roger King, but she was left to run things herself. It didn't work out. So it went through 3 separate consortiums. And now the consortium that runs it is a bunch of white lesbians. And if you walk into OWN's headquarters, you see one little sissy boy dressed up like Michael Jackson prancing around, and another 2 young sisters with their head shaved wearing bib overalls and work boots. And then the rest of the folk in there on the other 5 floors are 40, 50, and 60-year-old white lesbians, and that's all you see. So she's got to dance that tune to them. And then you've got Tyler Perry. He does a lot of stuff, but they underpay him, but he's their head dog, quite frankly. And he has spread a whole lot of poison in our community with that obnoxious, obscene tranny thing. What is it, Madea? And that has just ruined a lot of stuff for us. Michael Jackson got pushed for years by that industry because he was androgynous, and that was a lead-in to this fluid gender nonsense. So you've got a whole lot of poisons in there that people don't realize. And I've always admired you for standing up for what's done, to be done. Isaiah Washington, who is another somebody that, you know, he does the thing that he's supposed to do. I talked face-to-face for a first time to a brother in D.C. this weekend. He is Curtis Schoons. He's a hell of a brother. He's got a good idea. He's working it. He's trying to make a difference, and he's got street cred and all kinds of credibility going on, and he's done the right thing. There are brothers out there. But you see, this whole racket that we get so caught up in, even the performers, on the inside, it's a sick thing that's been for 50 years working on a specific agenda that we are not part of. And you have to understand that. I'm 72 years old. I grew up in Los Angeles, born in Washington, D.C., been in Memphis, Tennessee for 46 years. And Hollywood is the most racist place I have ever worked for. See, it has cost, but hang in there, because sooner or later it comes about that only somebody with real credibility, who has walked the walk, you know, talked the talk, done the deeds, can fill that position. It may be later, but you'll get there. Keep in there. I commend you.
I so appreciate that, Judge Joe Brown. And I think what happens oftentimes, and even with the situation with Oprah Winfrey and Tyler Perry, and like Sydney was saying, these are people that they on the top of the list for us as black people, knowing, though, that when you pull the curtain and you know who they are behind the curtain, and when you say they put poison in our community, not because he plays Madea, because if you pay attention to Madea, Madea is that woman in our neighborhood that don't take no foolishness, that tell you like it is, that will whip your ass but love on you at the same time. However, when you play the character, but that's not the character that you are, that's not the character you possess when no one's watching, that's when it's a problem. I think because in our community, we're faced with so much judgment. We're faced with, and I get it, baby, because you Uncle Joe. You Uncle Joe to us. We've watched you on TV for 15 years. So when Uncle Joe says, sissy boy, we know that's Uncle Joe. But it's heart, it's coming from a different generation. But we know Uncle Joe's heart is good, and he wants the best for his people. So when we can put all that together and not let people feel like when they walk away from us, I'm being judged, because I want to be free to be who I am. I don't want to offend anybody. However, it's hard for me to be free when I might be judged for my freedom. And it's hard for me to stand and fight for equality when I'm being judged for who I am. So we're being hit with so many swords at one time. It's hard for us sometimes to take a breath and say, how do we come together? Because the sissy boy may be the very boy that could do something and be that leader that you say the community needs, because what he may be doing is leading in love. So if we start with Oprah Winfrey and Tyler Perry, Judge Joe Brown, people think I'm mad with them. And no, we love them. And we're not calling them out. We're calling them up. And what we're saying to them is, listen, y'all, if y'all really let the community know who y'all are, because privately, both of y'all said, I ain't done nothing wrong. And y'all understood the position. But publicly, you said absolutely nothing. So what is that showing to our babies? So now we're fighting with that. We're fighting with the powerful will shut you down and just be silent. We're fighting with Uncle Joe think I'm a sissy boy. We're fighting with, oh, if you don't speak the right language, then you can't. We're fighting with so many things that it's hard for us to come to a balance. To say, okay, y'all, how do we make it better? How do we get to that place where we remove judgment and we start loving on each other? We might still disagree. I'm not saying we gotta agree. But we love on each other, that even when we disagree and we walk away from each other, we don't walk away feeling like I'm not loved by you because you disagree with me.
And it's hard for us as a community to expect people to have an appreciation for us and not judge us because of our blackness, if we are going to judge people because of their sexuality. We got to learn to love people for who they are and how they are, because the real sign of manhood, in my humble opinion, is when you're strong enough and womanhood is when you're strong enough to be who you are, not judge someone for how they are, because you don't want someone to tell you who you are intrinsically, just like it's really not our right to tell someone who they are intrinsically. There's an astrophysicist named Neil deGrasse Tyson who says, we are made up of star stuff, which means we come from various places in this universe, and we know not what each one of our messages and our reasons for being here. As a heterosexual man, no one had to tell me about liking women. I just intrinsically did. So I assume when someone who likes someone of the same sex, no one had to tell them it's intrinsic to them. And it doesn't bother me how they are sexually. What would hurt me more as a heterosexual man is that my LGBTQ community, because they are our community, are not allowed to live their best life just because of our sexuality, in the same way that we as black people were not allowed to live our best life just because of the color of our skin. We understand completely where you're coming from, but we wouldn't be Monique and Sydney and if we didn't speak to that, because we believe in the rights for all people, not just for our specific cause. Monique was told by an individual you may have heard of to never stop being who she was, and that was a gentleman named Richard Pryor. So the comedy that you heard is the comedy that she will give, and what you said is spot on as it pertains to her show. But then there comes a point in time when you come off the stage and we're having a real conversation, and we have to say that even with Netflix, we don't want to try to imply that when they're at home, they have their hoods on and they're part of the Ku Klux Klan and they're purposely out to get black folks. What we're saying is there's a normalcy that is associated with bias in Hollywood. And it's become such a norm because people have stayed quiet. And we had to speak up to it. And it's very easy for people to take the time out when they put their egos to the side, and the acronyms for ego that we use are expectations gone overboard, because they bought into their own hype, to say, you know what, when you have 4 to 6% people of color internally, when you have an individual that you refer to as a legend, but you want to pay her $500,000, but a white woman named Amy Schumer, who said she couldn't get paid what Dave Chappelle and Chris Rock received because she was not a legend, there's a balance that is not there. So what you were saying, we completely agree with. We were actually addressing Judge Joe Brown when he was saying, when he was speaking specifically about the individuals as being sissy boys and so forth, when he grew up, that was the term that they used. But being who we are in the times that we're in, you got to understand, one of there are individuals in my family that I look up to who happens to be a gay woman, who was a gay woman since the 70s and is still with her gay partner. Monique will tell you about the club she grew up in, where it was the gay community who nurtured her, because as a big black woman who was ostracized for being a big black woman, that gay community loved her. So we would be remiss if we turned our back in the midst of someone saying something about it and didn't acknowledge that we have to be loving of all people. And even those individuals who are construed as our enemies, we don't look at them as our enemies, because we only have a finite amount of time here on this plane. And when we begin to transition on, you start to look at the level of relevance that they had on your life, and you will say to yourself, it ain't much. The relevance is how did you handle how those individuals dealt with you? So we've got to keep speaking up, again, that truth to power to those who are not doing the right thing, And for those individuals who are just doing and being themselves, we have to speak up for them too, because they don't deserve to be mistreated, looked at as less than, all because of their sexuality, because we are strong enough as adults to love people for who they are despite their sexuality.
Good for you for having that attitude, but that's not mine. And I'm not so turned on or turned off.
That's why you Uncle Joe, baby. That's why we love you when we come to the cookout. That's Uncle Joe. Give him two pieces of ice and that shot of that dog liquor. That's why we love you.
Well, hold on. See, you're missing a point here. It's not about somebody's sexuality. First Amendment gives you a right to do whatever in the hell you want to do behind your closed doors, all right? What happens is when you start trying to barge into somebody else's living room, then what you do behind closed doors doesn't necessarily apply in their living room. The other thing is, it's not about the sexuality. It's the lifestyle and the worldview. See, you've got super macho guys like Alexander the Great, Julius Caesar, who were acknowledged homosexuals or bisexual, whatever the case may be. That's not who I'm talking about. I'm talking about, in particular, this LGBT poison that's trying to deal with stripping away the masculine component of the country. And when by that I mean certain behavior. Now, when we deal with getting it together, we have to look at what went on around and about the American Revolution. There were enemies made internally and externally. The French Revolution, the same thing. They had to go through their changes of sorting it out. People got killed. People died.
What we're saying is, it's the equivalent of, I had the privilege of studying Gracie Jiu-Jitsu under the tutelage of Grandmaster Eddie Camden and another gentleman named Huron Gracie, who's the grandson of Gracie himself, of Helio Gracie. And what they would say is, just because someone else is having a bad day does not mean that you have to have a bad day. So that means that just because you have to choke someone out does not mean that you have to be angry while you're doing it.
All right, guys, I'm going to stop the audio right there. This is actually the YouTube edition of the Just Show Round Show. If you'd like to listen to the show in its entirety, please visit the website, thejustyourroundshow.com, or our social media platforms. You can also find us on iHeart, Spotify, etc., etc., etc. Look for Valerie Denise Jones, and there you will find. All right, so right now what I'd like to do is just introduce you to a snippet of a promo, an upcoming promo, featuring a full breakdown of the impeachment. Also, for the millennials, Judge Brown touched on Tekashi 6ix9ine, plus the real meaning of snitching. All right, stay tuned.
A major bombshell was dropped earlier this month when it was revealed that Tekashi, aka 6ix9ine, was going to accept a plea deal in order for a lesser sentence after he was arrested for various charges back in November of 2018. But to do so, he had to testify and provide evidence against others. Or in more basic terms, he snitched. And many people aren't happy with that.
That's stupid. If we don't love us, nobody else is damn going to. So suck up and go to jail. And maybe bend over and get some KY jelly. That's what happens when you go up against the system. I don't feel anything for black folks who are against our survival. I'm sick of them. As far as them, they're obsessed with him because he's a light-skinned Latino, not even an African-American type. We love everybody but ourselves. We welcome everybody into our midst but ourselves, hate ourselves. And those who hate us, and I'm not picking, but there are a lot of people. I believe due to Dominican, have they looked at how Dominicans feel about their black heritage? It's not a pretty picture, but he had light skin and long hair. And we give one another a hard time over light skin and hair, but we'll welcome a foreigner we don't even know into our midst to help poison and miseducate one another. And he's supposed to be loyal to us. We don't run drugs or crime. We're just low-level retail mini managers. we could probably make money doing something else. Other folks have stores and make money, sell stuff other than drugs. What's to stop us from selling hot dogs and beans and burgers and burritos? Really? Why not? What's to stop us from having some overpriced clothing stores in the hood versus selling poison and thinking you're cool and being high all the time? I'm sick of it. I don't have any patience. I can't wait for this hip-hop era to end. I don't care how it ends. So as for the little suckers who ran with this chump, who got sold out, a snitch is born every minute. And there's no better snitch than the snitch who's not from you or among you that can go back to their own community and say, I stabbed those stupid niggas in the back, and they trusted me. And the same thing happens with the white rappers and others that they say, they rap, they like us, they want to be like us. No, they don't. Nobody wants to be us when it comes to health disparities or homelessness or illiteracy or rates of homicide. We don't want to be us.
Should black people support President Trump's impeachment?
Hell no. It's white people fighting white people. Let white people fight and work it out. We don't want white people in the middle of our business. I don't like when we got something, we need to let white people work this thing out. And whichever one is face down at the end, we'll deal with the one standing up. Get out of white folks' fights. Stay out of extra racial entanglements with other people. Stop fighting against Israel for other people. If folk want to fight the Israelis, let them do it. We need to deal with home. Let's wipe our own noses and wipe our own buttocks for a change. Let other people do their own stuff. They don't care about us. And if we don't start caring about us, we're finished. And there are a whole lot of people that wouldn't mind being second-class citizens in the U.S. of A. Okay, for all the folks who are second-class, then take your sorry you-know-what back to Africa, and you don't have immunity to malaria. Enjoy.
Today's live broadcast was sponsored by MyOliveLeaf.biz. MyOliveLeaf.biz.
Hey guys, this is Valerie Denise Jones. Happy holidays to you. I wish you nothing except happiness, good health, and prosperity. Please, please, please go out of your way. Don't let nothing get you down, especially not health issues. No health issues like high blood pressure, cholesterol, diabetic blood sugar, eczema, none of that. X it all out. And if you need help, or got questions concerning any of the issues I just mentioned, please visit myoliveleaf.biz. Again, myoliveleaf.biz. And if you want to talk to somebody, please call 612-567-3263. 612-567-3263. The guys over there at Team Olive Leaf will definitely be happy to assist you. Again, happy holidays. I love you guys to life. Talk soon.